Moncrief on News Talk.
I suppose you're Mark S.
I'm
Mark W.
Who are you people?
Perché sta in piedi in modo strano?
Would you be open to using a different first name to avoid confusion?
Welcome back, Mark S.
That's Severance, our new episodes of Season 2 every Friday on Apple TV+. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon, Sean.
A massive amount of hype in advance of this. Based on the first episode, is it worth it?
What a question. Like, yes and no. I suppose the thing is, if you were to go blind into this without having watched season one, you would probably think, what on earth is any of this going on? And I think it's kind of like apt that it comes, you know, the release of the season comes so shortly after the death of David Lynch, because perhaps this is a Twin Peaksy style type show, which is weird and weird. And the problem with weird shows is they either go completely off the rails or they manage to stick the landing. And I think there's fewer of the latter than there are of the former. But all in, I'm very glad to see it back. So the thing about Severance season one is it's been 3 years since the first one came around. And perhaps the advantage that it has had in such a long gap between season one and season two is the people that didn't watch it the first time around have had the time to find it. And it is a show that has really grown and grown and grown and grown over time. So I have sat down with my significant other and forced him to watch it, and he loved it too. And I was very happy to get a refresher about 3 months ago in doing so. And the premise is a little bizarre to explain. It's about a group of office workers in this very, very bizarre office. Think like 70s sci-fi stylings meets the most bizarre, mundane office work you could imagine. And they have undergone the severance procedure as part of Lumon, which is the name of the corporation that oversees them, which basically means they are their own identity when they work on the severed floor of their office. And when they leave the floor, they have a completely separate identity. So if you could imagine, it would be like you see the lift closing for work and then it immediately reopens and you never, ever get to leave. You are constantly in the same place over and over again. And to that, we see Adam Scott, an actor who's been in many, many things, but arguably this is his breakout role, where he plays Mark S., who we heard in the clip there, who is now returning after the events of season one. And you can't not watch season one for this. If you are interested in catching up with like the zeitgeist and what's going on, I'm afraid you're going to have to go back and do your homework, because this is a show about eccentricities, about bizarre interactions, about weird goats appearing every now and again, and you really kind of have to lap it all up. But I'm very relieved that the first episode for me was thrilling and exciting. The finale of season one is an absolutely fantastic bottle episode of TV, where the viewers don't discover anything new, and yet it is, you are completely on the edge of your seat. So I'm happy to be built up to that seat edge by the end of this one too.
Does the first episode move the plot along? Because, you know, I suppose that the narrative motion is that they're kind of on the, they know something's up and some of them are on the verge of finding out.
Yeah. So what we learn is it has been, according to, well, we don't know anything for sure, right? But what we learn in the opening of season one, or season two rather, is that 5 months have elapsed since the events of the finale. And what we get, as we heard in the clip there, is Mark S. arriving to expect to see his other colleagues, his other three people on the team. They are Dylan G., Helly Orr, and Irving B., sitting at their little computer terminals, and instead finds a completely different team, this time with Ali Ashok of Arrested Development and Bob Balaban of A Million Things. And instead, he's trying to find out where his team is, because they were up to something good, bad, indifferent at the end of season one. I'll leave that for people to find out. But does the plot move along massively? No, but it never does in any of these episodes. This is really a vibes kind of show, right? A lot of it is down to the style and the production style. And one really good thing about The Gap is that, like, like Easter egg fans have found major things to salivate over the last 3 years, including the fact that all of the computers that they work at have no escape key. And like that, there's a very famous scene in the first episode where, or in the first season, where they end up doing this dance thing, and unbeknownst to any of the cast, all of the lights in the office, these horrendous fluorescent lights, were also enabled to be disco lights, shall we say, and they just ran with it. So part of the show is just enjoying the style of the show, and a lot of that, has a huge amount of the credit has to go to the production design. But Ben Stiller equally is deserving of great credit. I mean, he, Dan Erickson, who created the show, it's his first major script. He came up with the idea when he was doing temp work while trying to make it as a writer, and he presented the script to Ben Stiller, who kept it on his desk for 5 years before going back to it because he was so struck by it, and has said it's the longest project he's ever worked on, and that's 8 years ago now at this point. So really, I think we'll be getting more of this because it is Apple's sort of premier critical darling, and they will want people coming onto the service for it.
Right, the next show is Molly May, Behind It All. You can stream the first half of episodes now on Prime Video. Here's a clip.
Just like it's a full meet and greet, but it was not meant to be a meet and greet, and like, but then people are getting really upset when I'm not taking pictures with them. But it's like, it's not meant
for everyone. I think you're just gonna have to stay on
the
move.
And also, if we planned to do it outside like that, I'd have put like flowers up. I'm standing in crisp packets for cigarettes, like on the street next to a trap door.
Right, so she's an influencer, and does she go into space? Does she perform surgery? Does she do anything out of the ordinary that the rest of us haven't done?
Well, clearly you're not up to date with Molly May, Sean, if you don't know what she's doing, because what she's doing is having dumped her fiancé, right? So Molly May...
That never happens. Like,
right, so Molly May is arguably one of the biggest influencers in the UK, and she came to national and international attention when she starred in Love Island in 2019, that kind of pre-pandemic Love Island bubble when everything was when it was absolutely at its zenith, and she found Tommy Fury on it, and together they started a courtship that begat a baby named Bambi and a very famous proposal, I think, last July, and then a more infamous dumping a few months later. So Amazon originally had pitched this to be a documentary in the lead up to their wedding. And you might be wondering, why would Amazon, helmed by a very successful business man, be so interested in Molly May Haig? It's because she has 8 million followers, and they are very, very interested in her. Across all of her social networks, she's followed by 8 million people, and she... most of this series has then pivoted to be about something else. So because they broke up, it's about her as a single mother and about her launching her own brand, or which is called Maybe, a fashion line, and kind of dealing with all of the negative side effects of being a social media influencer and single mother and business entrepreneur type. Now, all in, I'm not one of Molly May's 8 million followers, so this is not something originally made for me. And what I would describe the documentary is a bit like her brand. It is beige. And I don't mean that in as pejorative a way as it maybe comes across. Her style, her house, her vibe, her aesthetic is, she likes things beige, and that's how she likes. And the documentary isn't warts and all. Like, as in, the reason why I sat down to watch it is because I know they had this very infamous breakup, and I was kind of hoping to get, a bit of meaningless gossip about that. And while I got some of it, it wasn't that meaningful, right? Like, it wasn't as juicy as I was kind of hoping for. It was more kind of straight-laced. And then there was a lot of just Molly May wandering around her big beige house herself, looking at pajamas, looking at her TV, saying she likes to stay in and being sorry and sad for herself. And look, I don't mean to undermine losing your significant other and in a public space. That is even worse than I could imagine. But the show gets a bit more interesting when it begins to follow her and her fashion line. And when we get to see the kind of daily grind of what it is to be an influencer. Like, there's this very, very well put together sequence in which she's at the pop-up launch of her soon to be ill-fated brand, where all of these people have come to see the brand, but she doesn't want to do a meet and greet, and she's just doing photo after photo, and there's this montage of her saying of course to every single photo, and it really looks exhausting, to be honest with you. Now, exhausting is not what I would say for the documentary. It is very straight-laced. It's very curated. It's very, we get Molly May breaking into tears from time to time. But other than that, like, we don't get any real in-depth look at kind of her. I felt we only scratched the surface of it. And for me, there was this sequence then in the third episode where she has the launch of her product and it all goes unbelievably well. It sells out in minutes. And then within 2 days, people are complaining about the quality of the materials and it's the backlash she's getting. But she's sort of then pitching this as like, look how hard it is. I get all these horrible messages on social media and it's sort of like, yeah, but you sold them really inferior products.
Yeah.
what did you kind of expect them to say? So look, they've split the season in half with more episodes to come later on this year. I don't think I'll be returning to it, but this isn't for me. This is for the 8 million Molly Mae fans. And will it see them transition to Apple or to Amazon and subscribe to see that? That's what everybody wants out of this.
Right, the final show is Far North. You can stream all episodes now on You and Alibi on Sky or Now TV. Here's a clip.
Hello, stranger.
Oh, no, you know me, Louis.
I was joking.
Oh, just here for that generator again.
That's a surprise.
Is it?
No, Louis, I was bloody joking. Are you all right? You seem a bit off.
Gosh, I'm fine.
Hello again, madam. So you hire tractors?
No. Why you want one of those? You got a boat to launch.
Yeah.
Right, so James, this is New Zealand's well known for its meth busts, and this is the story of just one of them.
Not only one, the biggest one, in fact, right? So yes, you've hit the nail on the head there. So this is, I mean, if you've had enough of Hobbits and Lord of the Rings and you're, you know, worried more about crack pipes, then this is your way to go. So this is actually a real hidden gem. It debuted on Kiwi TV roughly kind of 18 months ago to great fanfare and really built an audience. And I must say, I was very taken with it. It's a six-hour-long retelling of a true story, which was about New Zealand's biggest ever meth bust, when this group of Australian, Polynesian, Tongan, Samoan gangsters, quote unquote, decided that they were going to try and import 500 kilograms of meth via Chinese couriers. And when I say everything went wrong, I mean, literally, not only did they have the worst look imaginable, but their planning was horrendous. And this is explored in increasingly funny and bizarre ways. Now, it's all tied together by two kind of reasonably well-known Kiwi actors, Robin Malcolm, who plays Heather, and Tamuera Morrison, who plays Ed. He's best known for being in Star Wars stuff, where he plays Boba Fett. And they originally co-starred together on Shortland Street, the Kiwis soap opera. So that's a big, it's like bringing Jason and Kylie back together, right? Mm-hmm. And basically, they play this sort of odd couple who do odd jobs in the Northern Ireland of New Zealand, who somehow get embroiled in it and end up trying to do the right thing and finding police officers not particularly interested in listening to their warnings. All in, it's a hidden gem. It explores this case through three different factions. We follow the couple, we follow the gang, and then we also follow these four Chinese drug smugglers on a boat whose situation is becoming increasingly desperate. There's a lot of subtitles to read, but all in, it's very, very funny.
Right, those three shows are Severance, new episodes of season two every Friday on Apple TV+, Molly Mae behind it all. You can stream the first half of that series now on Prime Video, and Far North, you can stream all episodes on at Sky or Now TV. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.